Our gospel reading this morning comes from the gospel according to John, chapter 6. The holy gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the crowd, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and anyone who comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. This is indeed the will of my Father, that all who see the Son and believe in him may have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day." Then the Jews began to complain about Jesus because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They were saying, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. For those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them, just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father. So whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever." He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a recurring joke, one of a few, in our family that comes from a television show that we watched together while the kids were growing up, and I've mentioned it before. The show is The Middle. And in the show, Frankie and her husband Mike live in the middle of the country, being Indiana, where they are raising three children and just trying to get by. Now, Frankie is not the prototypical June Cleaver type television mother. She's more normal, more typical than that. And in almost every episode, when the family gathers around the dinner table for that quintessential family meal together, and Brick is sitting in the folding lawn chair, Frankie will come in with a couple of bags, drop them in the middle of the table, and say, "Made dinner." Clearly the bags from some fast food restaurant. Now, whenever we come into the house with takeout, which has happened more during COVID than it did before, we always set the bag on the counter and said, "Made dinner." Now, what is not immediately obvious to us as readers and hearers of the gospel reading, the lengthy gospel reading this morning, is that Jesus had made dinner for a crowd of 5,000 people just prior to our reading at the beginning of chapter 6. Now, last week, we found Jesus back in Cana, where he had begun his public ministry in John's gospel. And there he was approached by a royal official who had come to Capernaum from Capernaum to see him because his son was nearly dead. And he begged Jesus to go with him to heal his son. And Jesus told the man, "Go, your son will live." The man went away and his son lived. And then Jesus went to Jerusalem for a festival. And when he got to Jerusalem, he came across a pool of water called Bethesda, which was a healing pool. And there was a man he encountered there who had been ill for 38 years. And Jesus asked this man if he wanted to be made well. And the man said he just wanted help getting into the pool of healing water. And Jesus told the man to stand up, pick up his mat, and walk. And at once the man was made well, which sparked a confrontation with the religious authorities. After teaching for the day in Jerusalem, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and a crowd followed him because they had seen the signs that he had been doing. And this is where Jesus made dinner for the crowd of 5,000. When he looked up and saw the crowd that was gathered, he had asked Philip, "Where are we going to buy bread for all these people to eat?" Philip said, "I don't know, 6 months' wages wouldn't even buy enough bread to give everybody a little bit." Then Andrew Simon pointed out that there was a boy who had 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. So Jesus sat all the people down. And then he took that bread and he gave thanks and he gave it to the people. And also the fish, and each had as much as they wanted. And when everyone had eaten, they gathered up the leftovers and they filled 12 baskets full of bread. After this, Jesus withdrew to pray. The disciples got in the boat. They headed back to the other side of the sea where they had started. And Jesus, as you likely remember, caught up with them, walking upon the water. And when they got to the other side, the crowd found Jesus again, and they asked him for another sign, so they too might see and believe. You see, they wanted more bread like the manna that their ancestors had received in the wilderness, and the crowd had eaten on the other side of the sea. Jesus explained to them that it was God, not Moses, who had given the Israelites manna in the wilderness, because it was God who provides true bread from heaven. To which the crowd responded, "Sir, give us this bread always." And that's where our reading begins. Our reading begins with Jesus' response to the crowd's request to be given that bread always. Jesus responds by saying, "I am the bread of life." Now, you might remember that "I am" is the name that God gave to Moses through the burning bush in Exodus 3:14. If you remember back then, God tells Moses that he will lead the people out of Egypt and deliver them from their years and years of slavery. And Moses says, "Well, when I tell the people that I'm going to lead him out and I go to Pharaoh, who should I tell sent me?" And God says, "Tell the people, I am who I am, and tell them I am sent you." In John's gospel, we have six instances, not including the one is in our reading this morning, instances of Jesus saying, "I am. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine." With each "I am" statement, Jesus reveals not only something about himself, but also something about his relationship with his Father. And throughout the passage that we read this morning, Jesus refers to the Father as being the one who sent him, being the one who gives life. Now, Jesus follows the "I am" statement in our reading this morning by reiterating that those who come to him will never be hungry, and those who believe in him will never be thirsty. Here, as was the case with the woman at the well, and actually with Nicodemus too, as I think about it, Jesus is speaking on two different planes. There is this worldly understanding of eating and drinking, and as we think about Nicodemus, even of being born. And then there is a heavenly plane upon which Jesus speaks, or about which Jesus speaks about as well. The crowd in this morning's reading asked Jesus for more food that he provided to the people the day before. They wanted what those people had. One commentator described it as being like the day after Thanksgiving, when everybody's having trouble buttoning their pants, but they all come back to the table for more of that meal that was so good the day before. The people want Jesus to give them another meal like they had with the loaves and the fishes. A meal that would be reminiscent of the manna that God had sent their ancestors in the wilderness. So Jesus explains that he has come with, or really as, the bread of life. And once you have been fed with the bread of life, you won't be hungry anymore. There's no going back to that table and saying you need more. You see, the people want Jesus to prove who he is by satisfying their worldly needs and wants and desires. They want him to take care of their daily needs, but Jesus was sent with a different purpose. Sure, he performed signs, as John calls miracles. Miracles that impacted people's physical well-being, but the word did not become flesh so that he could perform exorcisms and make the blind to walk. No, the word became flesh so that we would be fed with the very word of God. And so that on the last day we might be raised up as it is written in the prophets. The Jews here heard Jesus talking and what he was saying, and they began to complain in verse 41. Now up until this point we've referred to those in the crowd as the crowd, but now those who are complaining we're calling the Jews, because they're complaining just like their ancestors did in the wilderness. Remember when they complained it wasn't enough that God had delivered them from slavery in Egypt, and it wasn't even enough that God provided manna for them every morning? Then they complained they didn't have meat to eat, and God then provided quail every night. And God did so because so that they would know that he is the Lord their God. Now, while Jesus is trying to tell the crowd that the same Lord who sent the bread and the quail to the Israelites in the wilderness has sent him to the people in the wilderness of their own lives, sent him and so that they can actually receive the true bread of heaven. And then because they aren't getting it, Jesus cranks it up a bit. He goes maybe a step too far. He certainly would have gotten their attention when he says, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. For those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Ew. But it certainly would have gotten their attention. Remember, Jesus is speaking to a people who still performed animal sacrifices, and the blood of a sacrifice was always offered back to God. The people didn't drink the blood because the blood was the source of life, and they understood that all life came from God, so the blood would go back to God from whence it came. So to think about the drinking the blood would have been disgusting even for a crowd of Jewish people, even if they weren't vegetarian like me. It would have been unimaginable. It's difficult for us to imagine what it must have been like for the crowd to hear these words, because we hear them every Sunday as we gather around the table for Holy Communion. I wonder if we haven't heard them so often that they've lost their edge. Lost their significance for us. Imagine being in worship for the first time and hearing these words, "This is my body, broken for you. Eat of it, all of you. This is my blood, shed for you. Drink of it. Eat his body, drink his blood." The suggestion is outrageous. And yet, when we come to the table, Do we focus upon that, or do we focus upon the freshness of that wafer? And how does that wine taste? The body and blood of Jesus Christ, maybe it shouldn't taste so good. Now, as Lutherans, we don't believe that the bread or wafer nor the wine or grape juice actually becomes the body and blood of Jesus Christ. But we do believe that Jesus is present in those elements. Jesus is present. We take these ordinary worldly things such as bread and wine, and through the words of Jesus, they become something more than they were before. A sacrament. The means of grace given to those who believe and those who want to believe in the life-giving power of Jesus Christ. For Jesus is the bread of life. And Jesus came to offer himself so that we might feed on him and have everlasting life. For the Word became flesh to dwell among us, in order that we actually might take that very Word within ourselves. Jesus was sent by the Father not simply to sustain our lives here as the manna and quail did in the wilderness, but to provide us with a path, the way to everlasting life with him. Now the crowd in our story asked Jesus to make dinner for them by providing them with the bread that the multitude had eaten the day before. They thought Jesus was there to simply help meet their worldly needs. But Jesus didn't come merely to satisfy our worldly wants, needs, or desires. He came so that we would want no more, because our spiritual needs were being met. He came and gave his life so that we might have life through him. So let us, as the psalmist writes, let us taste and see that the Lord is good. For happy are those who take refuge in him. Amen. Next Sunday, Jesus promises to satisfy our thirst in John chapter 7 by offering us living water.